Many of you have got your little note about where we're going, and Muppet was asked, "Do you tell the truth?" The Muppet said, "Of course. All the time? Of course. Really? No, I was lying." And where's the truth? Like, what's the truth now with this story with Trump? Like, did he pay the woman money? What's the story there? And what really happened at Parliament House that night? Two people who had been drinking too much, I don't think they went in to play tiddlywinks. Like, where can we find truth today? "I never take drugs," says the sportsman. Hello? That's not what the test showed. Do we ever believe a politician? Do we ever believe that what they say, "I'll do this if I'm elected," does it ever come about? Do we ever believe some of those people leading us in industry? "Oh, look, your power bills will be so low if we get rid of ETSA or South Australian Electricity Company." What a joke. "If we privatise," all of this. So friends, we need to come to truth and we need to look at truth. Now, what is truth? On this side of the cross, and knowing what we know about Jesus, really, it should have been the question not what is truth, because it's not going to be found in a box, but who is truth? Which is a challenge to us, because if we believe Jesus is the truth, and if we believe when he ascended, the Spirit of the living Christ came to dwell in us, then we are the truth of God. That's how we need to live, the truth of God. We have a sign in our house on our notice board that says, "Don't confuse the truth with the opinion of the majority." Don't confuse the truth with the opinion of the majority. We need to be careful that we don't confuse the truth of God with what everyone else might be telling us. Now, we can see there that today this situation is relayed in the four Gospels. We're going to be jumping around a little bit because not everything is in every Gospel. It's obviously going to be a conflict, because if we've got Jesus who is the truth, the life and the way, and we've got Satan who's the father of lies, well, there's going to be a major conflict. We realise that. So if we're on the side of God, that's one thing, the truth. But if we're being confronted by Satan, that's the opposition. So we need to realise we're going to be in a battle. We are going to be challenged all the time. So I'd like to look at it today in three little segments. I'd like to look at the accusations that the religious leaders brought, the actions of Pilate in response, and then perhaps the most important, my response, our response to this situation. So we look at the accusations that these people brought. Pilate is the governor. We've just had that read to us. The praetorium I've got there was the residence of the Roman governor. First, we need to realise the Jews are not happy with the Roman control, and the Romans really can't be bothered with the Jews because they're so particular about the law, and they're so particular about their feasts, and they're so particular about their customs. The Romans can't be bothered with that. And the Jews think, these pagan Romans, oh, we don't want to be involved with them. So there's really no love lost between these two groups of people. and then we're confronted with the situation. Now, because the Romans think that the Jews, all of this religious stuff, blasphemy is not going to work. So bringing a charge of blasphemy, which is the Jewish thing, which is the undercurrent, that's what the Jews want to get Jesus on, but they can't really, because the Romans aren't going to be interested. They'll just say, oh, these Jews again with their religious stuff. So they have to contrive these accusations. Revolutionary, doesn't pay his taxes, and he's claiming kingship. How amazing. How amazing. So, look at the things, he says, Pilate says. Look at what they're saying about you. Now, have you ever been a person who has distorted the truth just a little bit? Just a little bit so that it looks better for you. You see, we can't actually get Jesus on the blasphemy charge. So he sort of said, well, he's not a revolutionary, but is he a king? Well, can that be revolutionary? Pay taxes to Caesar and pay what you should to God? Well, he's saying, don't pay taxes to Caesar, don't pay your taxes. Can you see? This is all Pilate's favour, anti-Jesus. This is all anti-Rome. This is all anti-Rome. A revolutionary doesn't pay taxes and claims kingship. Hey, Rome, you better listen. Now, all I'm saying is, sometimes we only tell half the truth. Or sometimes we only tell part of the truth so that it makes it look better for us. We need to be careful. If you're ever called into a law court, you'll be asked to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's interesting. It's very easy, isn't it, to embellish stuff. That is to add a bit to the truth, to say, well, or to throw it in another angle. We need to be very, very careful. So this is what they were doing. These were the accusations of these religious leaders. So Pilate is caught in a spot. He is directly responsible to the Roman emperor. Actually, because he's looking after an area that involves Jerusalem, he's not responsible to the Senate, if you know anything about the Roman regulations. He's responsible to the emperor direct. So he doesn't want to fall out here. He doesn't want to be in strife with the emperor. So he has to keep Jerusalem and Judea. Jerusalem's in Judea. Has to keep Judea under control. Otherwise, he'll be in strife. Now, Pilate wasn't an idiot. He was a man who had to be over 27, which is an odd time, but you had to be 27 to take on this role. He was an experienced, in lots of ways, administrator and soldier. So he understood a couple of things. He was the procurator, or the guy in charge, from 26 AD for at least 10 years. He was recalled because of upset. And the interesting thing is, and this is how we can fall into this spot and others can fall into this spot. He was recalled to go back to the emperor because there was some upset with Samaria, and it was the Jews who brought the charge against him. Now, isn't it interesting? In the first situation, the Jews are coming to him and saying, oh, will you be on our side because charges against this bloke Jesus? But actually, when it was more beneficial to turn the tide, they said, oh, actually, this guy has done some dreadful things, because it was to their advantage to get rid of him at that stage. Now, He was recalled because of an upset, and the story is that he, in fact, committed suicide as a result. Other people say, no, that isn't quite true, but we're not really sure of exactly what happens. We're not sure of the truth of whether he did commit suicide or not. Now, this is his situation. I've mentioned he didn't like the Jews. So they've come before him to say, we want you to get rid of this bloke because he's upsetting us, he's upsetting our religion, he's turned things upside down with his teaching, with his healing, claiming to be the king of the Jews. He's not our king. And what he's saying is, we don't like it. So, in my heart, Pilate is saying, I'm unsympathetic, but I really don't understand what's going on here. When the Romans came into a city, they had poles, standards, their flag on it, and on the top was a golden emblem. That could be the emblem of an eagle, which was the Roman symbol, or it could be the symbol of the emperor. All of the other procurators, when they came into Jerusalem, because it was the city of the Jews, took those off because the Jews saw it as idolatry, not Pilate. He left them on. So if you want to aggravate the situation, he aggravates the situation. This is Pilate's doing. These things stay on. We see them. We see them as symbols of idolatry. And then he says, the water supply or the aqueduct into Jerusalem needs to be replaced. Wonderful idea. Oh, I'll take the money from the temple. Oh, you don't take the money from the temple. This is like touching the superannuation fund. In fact, it's worse. It's like taxing the family home. But can you understand? All of these things just niggle and rile the Jews. He doesn't like them to start, all of their silliness and going on with religious stuff. Then the next thing, they've got these golden emblems on the poles as they march into Jerusalem. This is idolatrous. And then he takes the money from the temple. How amazing. So poor old Pilate is stuck in a very difficult spot. I want to say, friends, the truth often puts us in a difficult spot. Truth is not the easiest place to be. We should be. I'm not saying tell lies to get out of it, but I am saying that here Pilate has got these things going against him, but then he's confronted with Jesus. Let's have a look at where we go. He's impressed with Jesus. I think he's intrigued in some ways. Like, who is this man? What's going on that the Jews are so upset with him? Right, let me get out of this story. What can we do, he says. Well, I've got up there and I've got in your notes, there's Jesus Barabbas and Jesus the Christ. In early documents, the two Jesus who came were aware of Jesus the Christ. The thought is that the other one was a Jesus Barabbas, and that he came from perhaps a popular family in the community, and he'd gone off the rails, and he'd gone a bit wild. So when he was brought, all the community thought, oh, we know this guy, we know the family. Yeah, let this rogue go loose into the community again. But we don't know Jesus the Christ. And that's why we find in our Bible the definement, if you like, of which Jesus will I let go? Jesus Barabbas, the rogue, the criminal, but perhaps, you know, the popular criminal? Or do I let Jesus the Christ? I can't find anything wrong, but oh, the crowd shouting, I've got to do something. Now, he had been warned. What was just? Well, I can't find any fault in this bloke. So what can I do? I find no crime in him. His conscience, and then the warning from his wife. And who does he take notice of? What shall I do, he says. But there's a mob reaction, and that's why I've got there that quote. Don't confuse the truth. Don't confuse, friends, what everyone might be saying if you know the truth is something else. That's where we need to stand. If the Spirit of truth has come to dwell in us, we live with the truth, we express the truth. That's who we are. So Pilate says, I wash my hands. I don't know really what to do, but I'm just going to wash my hands of this case. I'm innocent of this man's blood. I find no crime in him. That's it. Now, there was a tradition that if a body was found in a community or a town outside of Jerusalem and they couldn't find anyone who'd killed the person, the guy who was in charge of that community had to go along with some members or leaders of the community and kill an animal so that the blood was shed. And then that was the sacrifice for the man who had died, and then they washed their hands and they were clear of the guilt. And it's seen that this is perhaps what Pilate was doing. I'm carrying out this old tradition, washing my hands, I am cleansed, or I am free of the blood or the guilt of this man, Jesus. Friends, it's not as easy as that, just to say, I'll have nothing to do with the situation if we know it's wrong. We need often to confront a situation in truth, as difficult as it might be. Look what they all say. Look what the Jews say. Don't you worry, Pilate. It's not on your head. Be it on our children. Oh, be it on our children. Is any consequence of that action being lived out today? It could well be, could it not? Hey, we haven't got a happy situation in Israel. Blood, blood, blood. So when does something like this finish? Let it be on our head. Friends, not confronting the truth or living out a lie has consequences for generations. I don't want to bore you again with my family situation. Some of you have heard that before. But it just meant that in my mother's generation, a lie was perpetrated, and that's lived out in my cousins, and it just was stupid. A family secret that was kept that was never confronted. So we need to be truthful. Now, we need to be careful. I'm not saying, boop, and you point the finger straight at a person. But we need to be truthful about things, prayerful and truthful, and confront those issues. Now, they didn't go into the praetorium, which was the house of Pilate. This is the Jews didn't go in, because if they went into the home or the house of a pagan or a Gentile, they would be defiled and they couldn't worship. It didn't matter that they'd made up stories about this man. That didn't matter at all. But they weren't going to put their toe in the praetorium, because then that meant they couldn't go into the temple or they couldn't worship. I've got down there, is killing an innocent man defilement? Is making up stories about someone a defilement? of religion, of God? How amazing. Oh no. Now, it can happen with us, can't it? Oh, there was a time, of course, when people wouldn't go into certain places because, oh, that was like defilement. But they could tell stories about someone, or they could make up lies about someone. So we need to be careful, friends. If this man was not an evildoer, he's not an evildoer. They've made up the story. It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death. No, it's not, for the reason that they wanted to. But, Pilate, you can. You can. You can put someone to death. And then isn't this one of the saddest verses in Scripture? When Pilate says, well, you know, he's king of the Jews or whatever, what do they say? We have no king but Caesar. These are the people of God. Isn't God their king? That was the whole idea, wasn't it? That God would be their king. He would be the Lord of their lives. He would be the ruler above the Romans. And yet when they're confronted and put under pressure and made up stories, what do they say? We've got no king but Caesar. Oh, we're loyal to Caesar. Liars. They're only loyal to Caesar because they can get what they want by manipulating Pilate. We need to be careful, friends. We can sometimes get what we want by manipulating other people and not telling the full truth. Let's be careful. Let's be very careful. Now, the last little bit. What about me? How does this apply? Oh, yes. We've heard this story many times. What is truth? Yes, we've heard it. Easter. But hang on. How easy it is to speak the truth in love, isn't it? One of the hardest things, I think, as Christians, to want to speak the truth, but to do it lovingly. It needs to be done prayerfully and thoughtfully, but it often needs to be done. How do we speak truthfully to our children, those of us who are parents? How do we speak truthfully to our grandchildren, those of us who have got grandkids? As our children are growing up, do you like the colour of this dress, Dad? Well, it's not quite your colour, love. Maybe the next size would have been better. And maybe another half a metre of material would have been good. How do we work this truth? We need to be truthful with children and grandchildren right from the start. Now, I don't mean that we don't have fun, because when we were on holidays, one day a meteorite landed in our backyard. When we came home, there was a big circle of burnt in the backyard. What happened? We said to our sons, Dad, would you believe a meteorite landed in the backyard? Oh, yes, yes, I'm sure a meteorite landed. That's fun. Did you break the window? What's the story? No, I didn't break the window. You telling the truth? It's interesting, isn't it, that we often punish for truth and we let a lie go. If a child says, yes, I broke the window, thank you for telling me the truth. That's what God says, doesn't he? Thank you for confessing. So, friends, we need to sort out how we're going to tell the truth in love, and as we get older, that becomes more difficult. More difficult. God hates a lying tongue. We need to look at that word hate, because if God hates it, we should hate it. We should hate a lying tongue. Put away falsehood. Get rid of it. It's not part of our Christian clothing, if you like, or our garb. Telling lies is not part of the situation. Don't bear a false witness. That is, Don't say something about someone that isn't true. This is interesting, this little one. We have made lies our refuge and falsehood our hiding place. We've set up, as if we've set up a bit of a little secret place that we can get into. And it's got lies. Lies never help people. And then whisperers and gossips. Oh, how I hate whisperers or gossips in the church. Yes, it's why if someone comes to me and says, oh, Colin, we've decided to leave the church, you know, we're going to go down the road because the teaching's better. Good. Come next week, come out the front, we'll tell the congregation, we'll pray for you, then everyone knows. And there's no little gossipy bits. So this is our attitude. This is how we respond to the things of God. However, this is what's going to happen to us. We're going to be wrongly accused, falsely accused. And blessed or blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all things of evil against you because you are followers of Jesus. So friends, we might as well get that into our thinking. That people are going to misunderstand us, they're going to talk about us, they're going to tell lies about us, as they have done for centuries. But that's what they did about Jesus. We've just heard that. They made it up to persecute him. So sometimes Jesus' reaction was, didn't speak. Sometimes that's our best reaction too. When we're confronted with something, sometimes it's best to stop and to think and then to pray. John 8, 31, 32, which is on the front of your sheet today, says this. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Where do we get the truth? We get the truth from the Word of God, and we get the truth from Jesus. And then there is a liberty. Isn't it wonderful? When truth is expressed, those of you who have faced something perhaps major in terms of your health, and doctors have talked and whatever, but when they've come out and said, this is what's wrong, well, at least I know. And now I can think that through and work it through. We had a lady minister's wife. She was quite an ill lady, Gloria Main. And she was always on quite a lot of tablets. And she said that if she went to the doctor and the doctor said another lot of tablets, she just put them on her table when she was having a meal. And she'd say, Lord, bless this body to your service and these tablets for my use. And she said if she felt a little bit uncomfortable about that, she'd go and ask the doctor again, why am I actually taking these? To sort them through. She found a great freedom in knowing what she was doing in what she was taking. I want to say, don't we all know a freedom when we know the truth? So I say, through my family, my mother died, my grandmother, who we never thought was grandmother, died, and it was then we knew the truth. And we thought, how stupid that we couldn't call this old lady grandma. My mother couldn't call her mother. It was all a hush-hush, illegitimate, one-night stand, all of that sort of silly business. But it was all kept secret and whispered. Just a family lie. Friends, the truth in Jesus liberates us. So let's live as liberated, free people. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you that Jesus is the liberator. And he's the liberator because he is the truth and he's the way and he's the life. He's the one in whom we trust, the one in whom we live, the one whose example we follow. So we come today, and when Pilate says, what is truth? we answer with, our God, Jesus, is the truth. And this is how we live and how we want to live. Father, in the week ahead, there's probably going to be some issues that we face where we need to be careful about how we speak. We will need to be very prayerful about the words we choose, but at the same time, within us, allow us to be people of truth and integrity, because you are the living Christ. Amen.